Hello, friends. Greg Kokel here and your host. Here and your host, for standard reason. Still up in the North Woods. I'll be here another week or so and then come back home for reality, the season opener in Orange County. And last I checked, we were about 45 people shy of being completely full. And I suspect now, a few days later, we are full. if you've been thinking about coming to Reality, boy, do I keep doing that. Goodness gracious. Okay. We changed the name 2 years ago or so. I don't know. Lose track of those things. But anyway, I still am stuck in the old habits. All right. The event is called Reality, and the opener in about a week from when you're listening to this, 1 week from today, and it should be full. We'll have roughly 2,000 people at Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, and Seattle is filling up October 15th and 16th in Bellevue, and Minneapolis won't get full because we've got lots of room there at Grace Church Eden Prairie. But last count I had was almost 800, and that's still 8 weeks away. So we are thrilled that people are climbing on board so quickly. And then we'll have three more, looks like, next year to round out the season. We'll talk more about that at another time. Just wanted to let you know that our team is available for you. We're getting back into action, doing more events after the slowdown from COVID. And all you have to do is contact booking at str.org. And you want John, you want Tim, and Tim's getting freed up, looks like. They're letting him out of Canada, and that's how he's able to make all of our realities this fall. But it looks like that's going to be good, too. And Alan just got back from Albania, and so who knows where he's going next, but he's in demand because he does such a good job talking on lots of topics. And, of course, I'm opened up as well. So if you want any of us to represent your team or your group or your church or your conference, just contact Darcy, and she is – located at booking at str.org or Darcy at str.org. Either one will work. Speaking of John is he has his own what do you call it? he's got his own podcast or show. I used to just call them radio shows or shows. Now they got all these different names. I can't keep track of them. Anyway, he's I'm looking at the announcement here, STR's Facebook, Twitter, YouTube account. But on Wednesday, September 29th at 6 p.m., he's going to do his next To the Point Live, and he's going to be addressing, in light of the fact that this is Suicide Prevention Awareness Month, and that is an area he's been doing a lot of speaking on. He's going to be talking about that. September 29th at 6 p.m., and his podcast is called To the Point Live, and you can catch that on STR's Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube account. How do you do that on Twitter? I don't know how you do that. I can see I can do it on YouTube or Facebook. Anyway, any event, those are those things are ongoing. He does that every month. So since last weekend was the memorial, 9/11, and, you know, I think of the words of President Roosevelt on December 7th, 1941, Pearl Harbor, a day that will live in infamy, something to that effect. And that was before my time. That was 9 years before I was born. But I won't forget this one. And to me, that was a day of infamy, 2,977. I've read an account, Rick Riscorla. Rick Riscorla was responsible for one of the big trading companies' security there. And after the first attempt to destroy the World Trade Center, he put his team through very rigorous drills. I don't know, a couple, once a month or once every 3 months or something like that, got out with the bullhorn, and they ought to go run down the stairs, you know, do this thing, like get out of here, but down the stairs. And he had a very specific way of doing it, so people were paired up and helping each other and making sure everybody's covered, and sure enough, happened. He was responsible for saving 3,600 lives. He didn't make it, though, because after everybody was down, he went back up. Rick Riscorla. Rick Riscorla was also an officer in the I Drang battle in 1965 in November, Vietnam. The first big, big battle. Made a movie about it. We Were Soldiers Once and Young was the book. And I think the movie was just We Were Soldiers Once. I've seen the movie a number of times. I read the book, too, and fairly acquainted with that battle in 1965. I was just 15 years old. But Rick was a principal in that battle, and then went on to other things and eventually to, and decorated, as I recall, and to do this great act of self-sacrifice and foresight in training and preparing people and saving them all. They all got out, I think, every one of them, except for Rick. Anyway, there was a meme that came out from the devil. That's what it says here. The devil at Lucifer's tweets with a Z at the end. Lucifer's S, tweets, Z. The devil. So I presume this is an atheist, all right, especially from what is said here. It's very simple. He simply says, science flies you to the moon. Religion flies you into buildings. Maybe you've heard something like this. Science flies you to the moon. Religion flies you into buildings. Hashtag never forget, with an American flag there. Hashtag never forget. Of course, the never forget refers to our remembrance, 9/11, 2977. Which, by the way, just as an aside here, is the average amount of babies that die from abortion every day for the last 48 years, just to put it in perspective. A 9/11 every day. Every day. In any event, I want to say something about this meme. Science flies you to the moon and religion flies you into buildings. Tim Barnett and I have had some back and forth on this because he sent it to me. He keeps his eye open for these things because these are good fodder for Red Pen Logic. And by the way, if you have not done anything with Red Pen Logic yet, boy, please just go to the, well, what I do is I go to YouTube and just type in Red Pen Logic, and that's the way I see them. I know they're coming up because we work on these together, but Tim is the brainchild behind it, and he's the face of it, and he provides the substance. I just make a few tweaks here and there, but I like to watch them, and they're like 5 to 7 minute, maybe 8 minute on the outside vignettes that he takes a meme like this and then he red pens it and does a video with it. Usually sometimes it's just red pen on the meme and then they put that up, but usually he likes to append a video with it. That's what's 5 to 7 or 8 minutes long. And they're fun, but they will teach you to think better. And they will help you respond to memes like this. Science flies you to the moon. Religion flies you into buildings. Now, the key here is the one-sided characterization. It's very clever to say this. But, I mean, just by the way, as a matter of fact, religion doesn't fly you into buildings because religion didn't do that. A religion was responsible here. The adherents of a religion. Now, there is a saying I think that's helpful when you look at the actions of religious people, particularly that are ignoble. And many have pointed out things about Christianity, though if they want to find the flaws or the errors or the moral failures of Christianity, usually they have to go back 500 to 1,000 years. They go back to the Inquisitions or to the Crusades. It's even longer than 500, I guess. look what you guys did. Well, you know, it seems to me there's a statute of limitations on these things, first of all. More recently, we've had some stellar things going on, like outlawing slavery, something like that. But I'll talk about that in just a moment. It is interesting to me, though, that people that go so far back to talk about the flaws of Christianity. But this is where that saying comes into play. And the saying is something like, you cannot hold a religion responsible for the crimes of its heretics. You cannot hold religion responsible for the crimes of its heretics. So if somebody goes out in the name of Jesus and then does something contrary to what Jesus says, then that person is not a follower of Jesus. And even though they do it in the name of Jesus, it reflects on them personally. It does not reflect on Jesus. If you know something about Jesus and he hasn't affirmed that, advanced that, he hasn't taught that, he hasn't encouraged that. And the fact is, there's nothing in the teachings of Jesus of Nazareth, or in the New Testament, or the Old Testament for that matter, that directs believers of followers of Jesus to do this kind of thing, anything like that. Jesus said, love your enemies. Pray for those who spitefully misuse you. That was Jesus' attitude. So if people are murdering their enemies in Jesus' name, they're not going to get much support from Jesus. These are the people that Jesus would say, depart from me, you who work lawlessness, I never knew you. You who work lawlessness. Okay, so back to our aphorism. You can't hold a religion responsible for the crimes of its heretics. And that would apply to any violence done in the name of Jesus. That would not apply to any violence done in the name of Muhammad. And the reason is that the things that were done on 9/11/2001 were entirely consistent with a very popular theological strain and understanding in Islam. So this idea that, well, Islam's a religion of peace, that's what the word means, is just, I mean, the tactic here is just the facts, ma'am. This is just factually false. Now, I'm not speaking about Muslims here. I'm speaking about the religion. And there are many Muslims who don't hold to these ideas, just like there are many people who identify themselves as Christians who don't hold to biblical ideas that are fundamental and foundational to biblical theology. But biblical fundamentalists hold to the fundamentals of Christianity, and Muslim fundamentalists hold to the fundamentals of Islam. That means they believe the book and they follow the leader. And the book teaches this thing, jihad. And it isn't just personal struggle, it's violent jihad. And the leader practiced it. It's a matter of historical record. And so the things that happened on 9/11 were consistent with the teachings of Muhammad. This reminds me when I was in Madras, India. And I was there for 3.5 weeks in teaching and lecturing, and I would come to a restaurant on a fairly regular basis to have breakfast, and there was a young lady who spoke English. She went to university, and she would wait on me. So we made a friendship, kind of, as it were, and I got to talk to her a bit about spiritual things. And she said to me, if there is a God, your God, then how do you explain all of this evil in the world? And then she gives a sweep of her arm to take in the as it were, the in a sweep of the arm, the suffering of those in Madras, for example, and which was, you know, there's a lot, lots of poor people suffering, slums. I lived in Thailand, so I'd lived in the third world, but I wasn't ready for Madras, India. It was hard to be there, okay? So she asked this question, and here's what I said to her. I said that it wasn't God who did this. It was Hinduism who did this. Hinduism is responsible for the suffering of these people here because they have a caste system. Even though it's outlawed, it still is practiced de facto. And it's the ideas of Hinduism that are responsible for the suffering in Madras, India, for example. So this all goes to show that ideas have consequences. Religious ideas, faithfully followed, have consequences. And if the religious ideas are false, then the consequences are oftentimes going to be bad. Madras, India, or 9/11, two different religions, same concept. Ideas have consequences. So the issue here is not just religion flies you into buildings, but sometimes a religion may have ideas or dictates, points of view or doctrines that might logically result in this. But you know what? The atheist doesn't fare much better. Because in the 20th century, that was the bloodiest century in the history of the world. And forget about the First World War, 35 million people dead, or the Second World War, 60 to 80 million people dead, war dead. In addition to those wars, there were still 100 million people, 100 million people that died, and this is a round number, and it's a conservative number, but died at the hands of three men: Lenin, Stalin, and Mao. Atheists, all. Okay, so the question is here now, does atheism dictate that kind of behavior? The answer is no, it doesn't dictate that behavior. You have very nice, pleasant, law-abiding atheists. Atheism allows that kind of behavior. Because my question is going to be, what is the moral principle inherent to atheism that disallows it? And the answer is none, because there are no moral principles inherent to atheism. Now, there are moral principles that atheists adhere to, but it's not in virtue of their atheism. Because atheism doesn't dictate any moral view at all. Most atheists are materialists. You have molecules clashing in the universe. That's all you have. There is no purpose. There is no goal. There is no foresight to things. Things are not moving in any direction the way they should. There is no way the world is supposed to be. Therefore, evil in the world doesn't even make sense, because evil implies moral laws are broken out there, outside of us. And if there are no laws, because there are no lawgiver, then there's no broken laws. There is no evil in the world. There are things that happen that some people like and wouldn't do for themselves. And we're back to the believe statement from the last show. There are many atheists who do not personally believe for them that that is good, those things. And they ought not be done from their perspective, although qualify it. I'll say, this is our view, my view. And maybe I have this view because, they would say, they evolved this view. But remember the inside-outside distinction I made last show. Objective morality is out there. That's evil out there. If it's all inside, there is no evil out there. But to claim that you have beliefs about morality that were caused by cells dividing and natural selection is to locate morality in here. It's just another type of subjectivistic relativism. And if it's relativism, it's not objectivism. It's not real morality. So we're back to the same spot. There is no objective moral principle in atheism that disqualifies mass murderers or disqualifies something like what happened on 9/11, and science flies you into the moon, religion flies you into buildings. Are you saying, Mr. Lucifer's tweets, that there's something wrong with that? That that's bad? If you think it is, I do agree with you, but tell me what standard you're using to assess that with. I have a standard. I have a transcendent standard. That's the only kind of standard that makes sense of assessing something like that as evil, unless you just want to say you didn't like it. A whole bunch of people around the world liked it. They were parading in the streets after 9/11. So is it just a matter of personal preference? That's it? Well, that's all you're left with. If it's just a bunch of molecules clashing in the universe. All right. And science doesn't fare well either here, because maybe science flies you to the moon. But it's the moonshot is not the only thing that science gave us. Science also gave us Zyklon B. You know what Zyklon B was? Is, I don't know if it's still around, an insecticide, a very powerful insecticide. It was the gas they used at Auschwitz. Where did that come from? That didn't come from religion. That came from science. The crematoriums, well, that came from science too. Scud missiles, they came from science. Nuclear bombs, they came from science. COVID-19, a lot of people think that came from science. Atheism, they gave us Lenin, Stalin, Mao, Pol Pot, I mentioned him, responsible for the Cambodian Holocaust, which Time magazine said cut the population of Cambodia in half between 1976 and 1979, from 4 million down to 2 million. It's also the religion of every single bloodthirsty Marxist dictator on the planet. I mean, let's just keep this in perspective here, Mr. Moonshot. Religion gave us Mother Teresa. Religion gave us William Wilberforce. Religion gave us Harriet Beecher Stowe. It gave us the Salvation Army. It gave us Florence Nightingale. It gave us human rights. It gave us the scientific revolution, by the way, which got us to the moon. And incidentally, J. Warner Wallace's new book, A Person of Interest, is it out yet? I think it is. Doing well. I know it was doing really well in preseason sales, as it were. But he does a fabulous job showing how many disciplines that are foundational to Western civilization are a result of the impact of Jesus of Nazareth on the planet. And science is one of them. Of course, this is well known. And we've talked about it in the past. And there are books written about it. And it should be common knowledge. It was Christianity that what laid the foundation for the scientific revolution. And that was the ideas of Christianity and the worldview of Christianity. So you could say, and was the motivating force in many of the founders of scientific disciplines, from Newton right on. Okay, so what I guess you could say that, yeah, science flies you to the moon, but religion is what grounded science, so you could say, I guess, religion got us to the moon after a fashion. If we're fair about the impact of ideas. It also got us world literacy. And this is another thing I hadn't realized until I studied up on it. The reason the world is literate is because a long time ago, when it was a deadly enterprise, missionaries went all over the planet to places unknown with languages that were not written down. People couldn't read or write because there was nothing to read or write. And they took the languages, learned the languages, made writing out of them, taught people how to read it so they could read the Bibles in their own language. And that's how the world was made literate. Period. Full stop. End of issue. That's how it happened. So anyway, science flies you to the moon, religion flies you into buildings. This is really an unfair characterization because it's selective. This is called special pleading. find the good thing for your side and the bad thing for the other side, and just pump that up, and then you have a clever little, then the devil here, Lucifer's tweets, can put out a clever little meme. Okay, friends, I think that's it's going to cover it for us today. Glad to be able to spend some time with you, talk about some of these things. Pepperdine University, they have a flag for every single person that died, and the flag represents their country. It's magnificent. Every year they do this. We should keep that in mind. Valuable human beings, but they're only valuable according to a particular worldview. For others, they're just molecules clashing in the universe. Greg Kokel here for Stand to Reason. Give them heaven, friends.